This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to document toxic trait patterns before confronting someone. Build an airtight record so your confrontation lands on facts, not feelings. In short, after reading this, you will know exactly how to build a clear, factual record of toxic trait patterns before you ever sit down to confront someone. Document specific incidents with dates, words used, and measurable impact. Wait until you have at least 3 to 5 entries that reveal a pattern. Keep your record factual, private, and free of emotional language. Definition: toxic trait patterns are occurring, harmful behaviors that one person consistently directs at others over time. Unlike a single difficult moment, toxic trait patterns repeat across different situations, targets, and circumstances, creating a measurable cycle of damage to individuals and teams. You have been in that room. The meeting ends. Someone has, once again, spoken over your colleague, taken credit for work that was not theirs, or delivered a cutting remark dressed up as a joke. You feel the heat of it. You tell yourself you will say something this time, but when the moment comes to confront them, all you have is a feeling and a blur of incidents you can no longer separate clearly. So nothing changes. That is not weakness. It is what happens when you go into a hard conversation without a system. Documenting toxic trait patterns feels unnecessary until you need it. Most people hold off because they are not sure what counts as evidence, or they fear that writing things down makes the situation more serious than they want it to be. The truth is the opposite without a record. You're handing the other person every advantage. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for documenting toxic trait patterns that you can use immediately. If you are unsure whether what you're seeing qualifies as genuinely toxic behavior rather than ordinary conflict, start by understanding the difference before you begin building your record. Why documenting toxic behavior is harder than it looks. Knowing you should document something and actually doing it well are two very different things. Most people understand the principle. Far fewer follow through in a way that holds up. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. The incidents feel too small on their own. A sarcastic comment in a meeting, a slight that could be misread as a joke, a credit quietly claimed in an email, none of these feel weighty enough to write down. The pattern only becomes visible over time, and by then the early details have faded. Memory is unreliable under stress. When someone's behavior affects you emotionally, your brain encodes how you felt far more reliably than what was said. Reconstructing exact words and sequences days later is harder than it sounds, and imprecision weakens your record. You worry about your own motives. Writing things down can feel like building a case against someone, which feels adversarial and uncomfortable, especially if you value giving people the benefit of the doubt. There is no obvious format. Unlike a formal complaint process, everyday documentation has no clear template. Most people do not know what to write, how much detail to include, or where to keep it safely. You second guess whether the pattern is real. Toxic behavior is often designed to make you question your own perception. Gaslighting, plausible deniability, and charm in public make it genuinely hard to trust what you're seeing. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What do you need before you start? Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Without them, your documentation will either fall apart or work against you. Number 1. A commitment to objectivity. Your log is not a journal of frustrations. It is a record of observable behavior. From the first entry, train yourself to write only what you directly saw or heard, not what you believe it meant about the other person. This discipline is what gives your record its strength when it matters. Number 2. A secure, private location. Never document workplace behavior in shared tools, company systems, or emails that others can access. Use a personal notebook, a password-protected document on a personal device, or a private notes app. The moment your record becomes visible to the wrong person, you lose control of the process. Number 3. A clear definition of the behavior you're tracking. Before you write a single entry, name the toxic trait pattern you're seeing. Is it credit stealing? Public humiliation? Exclusion from decisions? Defining it specifically helps you stay focused and prevents your log from becoming a catch-all complaint list, which is far harder to act on. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Record each incident within 24 hours. Timing is everything when it comes to capturing accurate detail, and this is the step most people skip. Your memory of an incident is sharpest in the hours immediately after it happens. Specific words, tone, who else was present, and the sequence of events all blur significantly within a few days. Committing to document within 24 hours is not perfectionism. It is the difference between a credible record and a vague impression. Keep your documentation method simple enough that you will actually use it. A brief voice memo you transcribe later works just as well as typing directly. Write down the date, time, and location of the incident. Record exactly what was said or done, using the other person's actual words where possible. Note who else was present, even if they said nothing. Describe the immediate impact on you, on others, or on the work itself. Add a brief note about the context, specifically what preceded the behavior. Example: on a Tuesday in November, your colleague presents your project analysis in the leadership meeting without attribution. You note, during the 10 a.m. strategy meeting, MAME presented the market segmentation framework I had emailed them the previous Friday. They used my exact phrasing but made no reference to my contribution. Three senior leaders were present. After the meeting, two of them thanked MAME directly. That entry is factual, specific, and useful. A note that reads they stole my work again is not. Once you have your first entry, the system is in motion. The next step is knowing exactly what to look for as you continue. Step 2. Focus on behavior, not character. This is where most documentation efforts collapse. The temptation to write what you believe about someone, rather than what they actually did, is strong, especially when the behavior is genuinely hurtful. Phrases like "she is manipulative," "he is a bully," or "they are toxic" feel accurate in the moment, but they are interpretations, not observations. If you ever need to present your record to a manager, HR, or a mediator, character judgments will discredit your account far faster than any counterargument the other person might offer. Discipline yourself to describe behavior in terms of actions and words, not intent or character. Replace character labels with specific behavioral descriptions. Not "he undermined me," but "he interrupted me three times and corrected my figures without checking them first." Avoid adverbs that imply motive. Not "she deliberately excluded me, but I was not included in the calendar invite, despite being listed as a project lead." Use neutral language for impact. Not "it made me feel worthless, but the comment was made in front of four colleagues, and I was given no opportunity to respond." When quoting someone, use their exact words and mark it clearly as a direct quote. If you are uncertain of exact words, note that words to this effect is more credible than a confident reconstruction that turns out to be wrong. The power of behavioral language is that it lets the facts speak. A reader should be able to look at your record and reach their own conclusions. If the pattern is real, they will see it without you telling them what to think. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Look for the pattern across multiple incidents. A single entry is not a pattern. Three entries might be coincidence. Five or more entries, recorded consistently over time and across different contexts, begin to show a cycle. That cycle is what gives your documentation its real strength. This step is about stepping back from individual incidents and looking at the shape of the behavior over time. You are not just collecting complaints, you're building a behavioral map. If you have been avoiding difficult conversations hoping things will improve on their own, this is the stage that makes clear why they do not. After five or more entries, read through your entire log in one sitting. Look for recurring targets. Is the behavior directed at one person, several, or rotating? Identify recurring triggers. Does the behavior escalate in meetings, under deadline pressure, or when authority figures are present? Note whether the behavior follows a cycle: charm and inclusion followed by exclusion and criticism. For example, highlight any entries where the same behavior repeated within a short time frame. Example, you review 8 weeks of entries and notice that the cutting remarks happen consistently in group settings, but never in one-to-one conversations. The pattern suggests performance for an audience, not impulsive frustration. That is a meaningful insight that changes how you prepare for the confrontation ahead. For guidance on how to give constructive feedback without causing tension, Understanding this kind of pattern is essential preparation. Seeing the pattern clearly changes your emotional relationship with it. It moves from feeling like a personal attack to something observable and addressable. Step 4. Note the impact on others. Your documentation becomes significantly more powerful when it extends beyond your own experience. Toxic trait patterns really affect only one person. If you have observed the behavior directed at colleagues or witnessed its effect on team dynamics, that belongs in your record. This is not about recruiting allies or building a coalition before the confrontation. It is about capturing a full and accurate picture of the behavioral pattern's reach. When you can show that the same conduct affects multiple people in similar ways, it removes the possibility that this is simply a personality clash between two individuals. Note any instance where you observed the behavior directed at a colleague, recording what you saw directly rather than what they told you. If a colleague volunteers their experience to you, note that they did so without pressuring them to go on record. Record any team level effects: a colleague going quiet in meetings, a change in who speaks up, a project being handed off without explanation. Note any incidents where the toxic behavior affected a group outcome, such as a decision made on false premises or a contribution that went uncredited. Be careful not to speak for others in your documentation. Describe what you observed, not what others felt. This step supports the broader work of addressing behavior that is silently eroding team dynamics. The damage from toxic trait patterns is really contained to one person. Step 5. Prepare a summary of the pattern before the conversation. Before you confront anyone, you need a clean summary document. This is different from your raw incident log, which contains every detail. The summary is what you bring into the room, or at least have clearly in your mind. A good summary distills your log into the clearest, most irrefutable version of the pattern. It shows that you are not reacting to a bad day. You are presenting a documented record of repeated behavior with consistent impact. Understanding how to start a difficult conversation becomes much easier when this preparation is behind you. Write 3 to 5 sentences that describe the pattern in behavioral terms: what happens, where it tends to happen, and what the impact has been. Select 2 or 3 specific incidents from your log that most clearly illustrate the pattern, and prepare to reference them concisely. Identify what you need to change as a result of the conversation: a specific behavior to stop, a commitment to be made, or an acknowledgement you are asking for. Rehearsing your summary aloud before the meeting. Hearing your own words helps you stay calm when the moment arrives. Prepare for common deflections: denial, counter-accusation, minimizing. Have a short, factual response ready for each. Example script: I want to talk about something I have noticed over the past 2 months. In our team meetings on the 4th, 17th, and 28th of last month, contributions I had prepared in advance were presented without attribution. I have a note of each instance. I am not here to argue about intent. I am here to ask that this stops, and to agree on how we handle attribution going forward. That is calm, direct, and grounded in your record. You can find additional scripts for these moments and scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy. Step 6. Choose the right moment to act. A thorough record is wasted if you deploy it at the wrong time or in the wrong setting. Confronting someone publicly, in the heat of an incident, or before you have enough entries, will undermine everything you have built. This step is about strategic timing. You have done the patient work of documentation. Now you need to be equally deliberate about when and where you use it. Do not confront during or immediately after an incident. Wait until both parties are calm and neither is under time pressure. Choose a private setting. A confrontation about toxic behavior conducted in front of others rarely ends in genuine resolution. Schedule the conversation in advance rather than ambushing the person. This gives you control over the environment and signals that you are serious. Consider whether a manager or HR representative should be present, particularly if the behavior has been severe or if previous informal attempts have failed. If the conversation is likely to escalate, review your organization's formal process for reporting and consider whether that route is more appropriate than a direct confrontation. Knowing how to use a structured method to resolve conflict will help you manage the conversation once it starts. The right moment is not when you feel most frustrated. It is when you are most prepared. Step 7. Use the SBI method to frame your evidence. Having documentation is one thing. Presenting it in a way that other person can actually receive is another. Raw evidence delivered without structure often triggers defensiveness rather than reflection. The SBI method, which stands for situation, behavior, impact, gives your documented evidence a clear and credible shape. You can read a full explanation of how to use the SBI method to give feedback that actually changes behavior. But the core principle is straightforward: name the situation, describe the specific behavior, and state the concrete impact. For each incident you reference, state the situation first, when and where it happened. Describe the behavior using the exact language from your log: observable, specific, and neutral in tone. State the impact clearly on you, on a colleague, or on the team's work, using measurable or observable terms where possible. Avoid stacking multiple incidents in one breath. Present them one at a time and pause to let each one land. Close with a forward-looking statement: what you are asking for, not just what you are objecting to. This method transforms your documentation from a list of grievances into a structured, professional account. It respects the other person's ability to respond while making the pattern undeniable. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid environments create specific challenges for documenting toxic trait patterns that do not exist in the same way in a shared physical space. Written evidence is already there, but easy to overlook. In remote teams, much of the toxic behavior happens in writing. Slack messages, email threads, shared documents. These leave a record automatically. Train yourself to screenshot or save relevant exchanges as they happen, with timestamps visible. Do not rely on being able to find them later. Tone is harder to prove in text. Passive-aggressive messages, exclusion from threads, and public corrections in group channels can be genuinely harmful, but difficult to contextualize in isolation. In your log, include the thread context and note who else was present in the channel, not just the specific message. Video calls require extra attention. Behavior in meetings, such as speaking over someone, dismissing a contribution, or conspicuously leaving a call, disappears quickly if not recorded immediately. Make a note within the hour. If the platform records meetings, check whether accessing the recording is within your organization's acceptable use policy before relying on it. Geographic distance affects who you can involve. In large or dispersed organizations, the person you might normally speak to first, a trusted colleague or nearby manager, may not have witnessed any of the incidents. Your documentation needs to be self-contained and clear enough to stand without supporting witnesses. The core process holds regardless of where the work happens. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid when tracking harmful behavior. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: waiting too long to start documenting. Why it happens. People hope the behavior will stop on its own, or they feel uncertain about whether what they are seeing is serious enough to record. What to do instead? Start your log after the second incident, not the fifth. Earlier entries give you a baseline that later entries are measured against. The mistake: using emotional or interpretive language throughout the record. Why it happens. The behavior is hurtful, and writing about it honestly means writing how it felt. What to do instead? Separate your emotional response from the factual record. Keep a personal journal for feelings. Keep your documentation log for observable facts only. The mistake: confronting too early, before a clear pattern has emerged. Why it happens. The frustration becomes unbearable, and the urge to act overrides the discipline to prepare. What to do instead? Commit to a minimum of 5 entries before you consider confronting. 1 or 2 incidents can always be reframed as misunderstanding. The mistake: sharing the log with colleagues before acting on it. Why it happens. The need for validation or support leads people to show others what they have documented. What to do instead. Keep your record entirely private until you are ready to use it formally. Shared documentation can be reframed as gossip or coalition building, which weakens your position significantly. The mistake: documenting selectively, only the worst incidents. Why it happens. It feels more efficient to record only the most egregious examples. What to do instead. Record consistently, even the smaller incidents. Patterns are built from frequency as much as severity, and the smaller entries often provide the context that makes the larger ones make sense. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have identified the specific toxic behavior or pattern I'm documenting. I've chosen a secure, private location to keep my log. I've committed to recording each incident within 24 hours. Each entry includes the date, location, and who was present. Each entry describes observable behavior, not character or intent. I have used the other person's exact words wherever possible. Each entry includes the concrete impact on me, others, or the work. I have reviewed my log as a whole to identify the pattern, not just individual incidents. I have at least 5 separate entries before considering confrontation. I have prepared a clear, factual summary of the pattern. I have chosen a private, calm setting for the confrontation. I have rehearsed my opening statement using behavioral language. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real system for documenting toxic trait patterns, one built on evidence rather than emotion, and on preparation rather than reaction. Toxic trait patterns become visible over time, not in a single incident. Your documentation system is what makes them undeniable. Record each incident within 24 hours while the details are still sharp. Use behavioral language throughout what was said, what was done, and what the measurable impact was. Look for patterns across your entries, recurring triggers, recurring targets, and recurring cycles. Prepare a clean summary before the confrontation, not a full log dump. Use the SBI method to frame your evidence in a way that other person can actually receive. Choose the right moment and setting deliberately. Timing is part of the strategy. From here, the natural next step is learning how to open that conversation with clarity and confidence. How to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy will take you through the opening moment step by step. If the behavior you've documented involves subtle, hard-to-name conduct, how to address passive-aggressive behavior that's silently eroding team synergy gives you language for exactly that. And when you're ready to deliver feedback from your record, how to use the SBI method to give feedback that actually changes behavior shows you the precise structure to use. Documenting toxic trait patterns is not about building a case against someone. It is about respecting yourself enough to tell the truth clearly and trusting that the truth, properly recorded, is the most powerful thing you can walk into a room with. Frequently asked questions. What are toxic trait patterns in the workplace? Toxic trait patterns are repeated, harmful behaviors that one person consistently directs at others. Unlike a single bad day, these patterns show up across time, across situations, and often across different targets. Recognizing them as patterns rather than isolated incidents is the first step toward addressing them. How do you document toxic trait patterns effectively? Document toxic trait patterns by recording specific incidents immediately after they happen. Note the date, location, who was present, exactly what was said or done, and the impact on you or others. Stick to observable facts and avoid interpretive language. A log of 5 or 6 clear entries is far more powerful than a vague general complaint. Why is documentation important before confronting toxic behavior? Documentation gives your confrontation credibility. Without it, a toxic person can deny, deflect, or reframe each incident individually. A written record of repeated behavior makes the pattern undeniable and shifts the conversation from your word against theirs to a factual account of what actually happened. How many incidents should I document before confronting someone? Aim to document at least 3 to 5 separate incidents before confronting someone about toxic behavior. One incident can be dismissed as a misunderstanding. 3 or more incidents, recorded with specific details across different dates and contexts, establish a clear pattern that is much harder to dispute or explain away. What should I avoid when documenting toxic trait patterns? Avoid emotional language, interpretations, and sweeping generalizations in your documentation. Phrases like "he always" or "she is manipulative" weaken your record. Stick to what you directly observed: the words used, the actions taken, and the measurable impact. Let the facts carry the weight rather than your feelings about them. Can documenting toxic traits backfire if done incorrectly? Yes, documentation done in anger, filled with judgment, or shared too early can undermine your position. If your record reads like a personal attack rather than an objective account, it loses credibility. Keep your log private, factual, and focused on behavior rather than character, and only share it when you're ready to act. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.